And thanks again so much. Also, Damien G from Australia, thank you for including me and putting this all together. What an honor. This has been an amazing event. I'm just so excited for the rest of the conference. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Belinda Alcoholic. Thank you, Stacy, and thank you, panelists. And oh my gosh, thank you, Damien, because Damien and I have been messaging each other back and forth this entire time, trying to figure out how we're going to do these questions, and I wasn't seeing them. So we got it worked out. Takes a lot of work to do this. So, okay, I'm going to go, and if y'all can start sending questions now if you want to, and if you have a question for a specific panelist, let me know. Otherwise, one of the panelists will just, whichever one of y'all want to answer, go ahead. The first question says, how are you currently experiencing life now that you've entered what the book calls the fourth dimension of existence? Any one of y'all? Well, Stacy, you can hear me, Stacy?
I can. I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Rich, so, and Chris and Mary Pearl, are you guys there? Are y'all unmuted?
Yep, unmuted. I'll have a go at that if you like.
Okay.
Great.
The fourth dimension of existence. So I'll tell you a quick story. Yesterday, in the middle of the night, I woke up with severe chest pain. I thought I was having a heart attack. And I'm 55 years old, and my life flashed before me. And I'm lying there, and I'm not going to wake my wife up because she's in the medical thing, and I know what she'll do. She'll freak out and call an ambulance, and so I'm sitting there trying to work out how I'm going to get around this, and what am I going to do about this? And my life flashed before me, and you know, it came to me that I'm pretty cool with that. I'm pretty cool with the way of the life I've been given. I'm pretty cool with what God's given me up until this point in time, you know, and that's a far cry from where I came from where I, when I first walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, 29 years down the track, the early few years, I thought I was nothing but a low down piece, you know, lower than lower, and I hated myself and I hated everyone around me. And to get to the point in my life where I'm pretty cool, you know, if I get taken today, I've done the best that I can. I've tried to help others. I've tried to be the best father, the best grandfather, the best son that I could possibly be. And a power greater than me interfering with my life and getting me on track to experience what living in the fourth dimension to me is all about. And that's just really trying to be the best person I can do and do the next best right thing. So I was a piece of that, you know, and I had a lot of fear of dying for a long time, and I'm here to say, you know, I spent the day in hospital yesterday and they ran every test they could possibly run, and I'm okay. But I was cool with, if I'd have died that night, it would have been okay. So, and the first thing I thought about was, I hope my wife's going to be okay and I hope my kids are going to be okay. Normally my selfishness and self-centered would be all about me, what I've missed out on, what I haven't done, you know, all the missed opportunities. But I straight away thought about how my wife and kids are going to cope. So that's what living in the fourth dimension to me is all about. So thanks.
Great. Thank you so much. Does one of the other panelists, Chris or Mary Pearl, want to answer that as well? Or I have another one. So the next question from Amanda in Australia says, how often have you or do you revisit step one?
Mary Pearl, you're unmuted.
I can unmute her, I think.
She's unmuted.
Okay. Mary Pearl, can you hear us now? I just unmuted her.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi. The question was, how often do I take the first step?
Yeah, or revisit the first step.
Every day. There's always something in life that's going to come your way during the course of the day, and you're going to say to yourself, oh, I hate this. I don't like this. What can I do to change it? And then I have to stop and go, is this something I'm powerless over? And that way I don't have to fight things that are not my battle. I have to turn things over. If there is something to do about it, I do about it. And then I turn the rest over. But I have to take the first step on something nearly every day. If you don't think being cooped up with your husband nonstop for 6 weeks, we have been, because we fall in the high-risk group, and our doctor told us long before the president told us to stay in place, our doctor had. And so we were doing that. But it's every day you have to take the first step. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Pearl. All right. I see there's a lot of questions about a bunch of other steps, which will be covered throughout the weekend. I'm going to go ahead and see. I'm trying to go through the chat. If anybody has any questions, put them in the chat. And then that way I'll ask them out loud for everybody to hear. How do you connect your powerlessness with your life's unmanageability? And that's from Philo in Los Angeles. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute all three of the workshop panelists. That way y'all don't have to keep unmuting every time.
Thank you.
If I can. So, Chris, you should be unmuted now, right? Chris, are you there?
Yep, cool.
All right. And then I need one more. What's that?
What was the question?
Oh, you want the question again? Oh, shoot. I'm glad y'all are patient. I'm scrolling back. Sorry. Oh, how do you connect your powerlessness with your life's unmanageability? Any one of y'all that want to answer, it's fine.
Well, my powerlessness will make everything unmanageable. My trying to fix things I have no power to fix, my trying to do things I don't have the power to do, is what makes my life unmanageable. And it's my solutions to problems. It's the Mary Pearl way, not the higher power way. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think I have Rich B unmuted now. Rich, can you hear? Are you here? All right, we'll just go to another question. Oh, there you are. Did you hear that
there
question?
It is. Hi. I'm unmuted. My wife would not be happy with you. She likes when I'm muted.
I'm sorry. So did you hear, you want to answer that question as well? Or let me give you another one.
Hold on, honey.
Go ahead.
Hold on, honey. Move your hand.
Okay, I have another question from Kim, also in Australia. It says, do you think that step one is the first spiritual awakening?
I do. That's a great question. I've never heard it posed like that, but I mean, like I said, I mean, I was drunk yesterday, had been for a long time, and something clearly happened that I had nothing to do with. And, you know, if I don't find that amazing, right, if I don't find some God in that, something's, you know, I'm not paying attention. That was a pretty big thing to me.
Nice. I like that. All right. Thank you. Here's another question for any one of y'all. It says, the obsession to drink has left me, but I am still trying to control people, places, and things, and am still in fear. Have I accepted step one?
Good question.
definitely. Life's a journey, not a destination. I was bitterly disappointed when I first took the steps and did step 6 and 7 and left my sponsor and jumped in the air for joy, thinking all my defects of character had suddenly miraculously disappeared and I was going to be perfect from here on in. And I was bitterly disappointed when I woke up a couple of days later and I was still trying to control people and exert my will over people. And it really started to bring home to me about this being a day at a time process, that I certainly can't stay sober on what I did yesterday, and I can't bank sobriety. I stay sober and be an effective human being on what I do from the moment I wake up to the moment that I go to bed. So yeah, definitely, you know, my defects of character are blaring, and you know, I guess it goes back to that question about, you know, is step one a spirit, you know, did I have a spiritual experience? You know, I certainly do, because I had it in my head for a long time that spiritual experience meant that it was all wonderful and everything's going to be fantastic. It's a great experience. Sometimes spiritual experience exposes to me the stuff that I don't want to see. And when I see that stuff, now I'm in a position to God's help and a sponsor's help to try and change that behaviour. And it's a constant battle. You know, I'd love to sit here 30 years down the track and go, I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect. Am I better than what I was, you know, 10 years ago? Definitely. Am I better than what I was yesterday? I hope so. I hope I try and, you know, do a little bit each day. And that's due to the process. You know, steps 10 and 11 really guarantee that I have a safety net to look at that stuff. So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I'm trying to filter through statements, thank yous, and I don't know, quotes out of the book to find questions. So, okay. Here's a question from Jory. It says, did you get all of step one? All, I guess that means all at once or in parts. I'm going to assume that's what the question is. I'm trying to cipher through that too. So the question is, did you get step one at once or in parts?
Can I take a poke at that?
Oh yes, please.
I first was Alcoholics Anonymous in 1991. As you heard, my sobriety date is August 30 of 04. My math is not very good. I think that's roughly 16 years that it took me to maintain 1 year. So during that 16-year period of time, when I look back, and this is one of the interesting things about life, one of my sponsors likes to say, right, that life is lived forward and understood backwards, right? And things become very clear in hindsight. But when I look at that period of time, I was never able to get one entire year sober. And I was also never able to get one entire year without you in Alcoholics Anonymous for a full year drinking, right? My drinking, the police, a judge, a relative, something, right? Or something inside of me, something would always draw me back to you in Alcoholics Anonymous. So for 16 years, I couldn't go a whole year without you, and I couldn't go a whole year with you staying sober. And my more about alcoholism for me, right? For me, it's that here are some of the methods that I had tried. I had to try, you know, what I call middle of the road AA membership. I had to try sobriety through going to like lots of meetings at 7:30 at noon and night and then get drunk, you know, because I didn't really want to do your steps, right? I looked at it, I understood what was going on. And then I learned, like, okay, that's not working. And then I tried to do the, you know, I'm not going to drink. I'll just smoke weed for a while, right? And that didn't work, right? That stuff makes you thirsty after a while. And then it was, you know, I'm going to do a really good job with service in AA. But nothing, you know, those are some of the methods that I had tried, right? And so anyways, no, I didn't get it all at once. And it's what I went back to what I said. For me, before I was willing to wholeheartedly accept the AA program of action, I had to try every single thing I could think of, right? Of my ideas to go, okay, none of these seem to be working. What do you got? All right, I'll just do your stupid 12 things the way every other lame-o has done it, right? Like, I want it to be creative and add a little something, do what I want. The buffet thing, right? I hear that all the time. Take what you want and leave the rest. I was doing that, right? You know what happens when you do that with the buffet? You die. Right? That's the only problem doing it that way. So, no, I didn't get it right away.
Oh, nice. Nice. Thank you. I think we have time for sure for one more, and then I'll have to check and see how much time we have after that. But someone asked, this is James from New Zealand, wants to know, what does the dash mean between powerless over alcohol and life unmanageable? I guess that means, what does it mean? Oh, look, he put up a time. Thank you. Okay. So what does that mean?
I don't know.
Usually a dash will mean it's not like a semicolon. It's an extension of the thought. A dash is an extension. In other words, the powerless extends into unmanageability.
Nice. Great. All right. Is it possible? Wow, there's so many questions, but a lot of them aren't on step one.
Hey, Belinda, I've got a question real quick. Can I jump in?
Hi, Brad. Yes.
Hey, thank you. All right. So I don't know about you guys, but in my sobriety, in the small period of it, I've been so dry, I'd suck the humidity out of the room. So can you describe to me the unmanageability of alcoholism as it's shown up in your sobriety, and, you know, recognizing that and how you get back to the solution?
Nice. Good question, Brad. Yeah, Brad gets to jump in because he's a co-host. So thank you for allowing me not to have to search through all that.
Well, for me, Brad, it was like untreated alcoholism is to a certain extent worse than drinking. Well, I found it was anyway. You know, I lived in untreated alcoholism for a long time, and it's worse because I've got nothing to medicate that. And for me, it's, you know, I'm hard to be around. I hate everybody. I don't fit in. I'm with my wife. You know, we've been together 32 years, you know, when she came back when I stopped drinking. And, you know, I probably got divorced more times in sobriety than I ever got divorced when I was drinking. And that tells you that I'm much worse. You know, she said to me at 3 years of sobriety, you know, nothing's changed. I like you better when you were drinking. And I couldn't argue with that because I liked me better when I was drinking. And so that describes in a nutshell what I'm like with untreated alcoholism. And you know, is that a bad place? Well, no, if it gets me off my bum to launch me into a step, because it did. You know, I had a moment of clarity and saw that, you know, nothing had changed. I was still that crazy, crazy nutcase, selfish, self-centered, only cared about himself person. And I didn't want to be that person anymore. And so to me, you know, untreated alcoholism for me was much worse than really. There's a certain kind of manageability to drinking, you know. I go out, I say I'm only going to have a couple, I get drunk, I fall down, I wake up, swear I'm not going to do it again, and go through the same process over and over again. There seems to be a certain kind of manageability in that. When I'm sober and can't put anything in my system, my life gets very unmanageable because I don't know how to deal with situations. I've got no idea. And so, yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I just want to, you know, I'm going to kind of sum up in a few short words some of the answers to a lot of the questions. You're asking about individual steps. There'll be workshops throughout the weekend on the different steps. And there'll be more time after each one of those to answer some questions. We're going to also keep posting like where you can get recordings, because I know a lot of people want to get recordings. There's some gracious people that are doing this. In fact, Mike is one of those that's been so gracious, and we've been chatting back and forth trying to get this question and answer stuff done. So the chat will be open for a little while, I think, before we start the next workshop. And then I'll let Stacy take back over to finish this particular section. Thank y'all.
Great job, Belinda. I'm actually going to go ahead and give it back to our host. Thanks, everybody. Great time.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. What a wonderful panel. We're